Here we are in the heart of spring, and my lawn, with all that rain that we've had the past couple weeks, is actually looking pretty good. Chris from Teed and Brown and I actually took a walk around my house the other day, and it's looking good. The blades are looking green. The grass is green, but as Chris pointed out to me, there are some little spots that still need to grow in, so that will come with time. So we get into that in episode two, and we actually break it all down, and we talk about the one lawn disease that sounds so scary, but it's actually pretty common and not that bad, and Chris tells you how you can prevent it. And then we get into fertilizer, which to me is the most confusing thing about lawn care. So Chris breaks it down and simplifies it so you know what to look for when you're going to get your fertilizer. And then my favorite part, two favorite parts of the episode, we talk about Augusta National, because a couple weeks ago, early April, I went to the Masters and I was fascinated by the grass there all over that course, that famous Augusta National course. And Chris talked about the crazy, crazy operation that is the lawn care management system at Augusta National. It's fascinating. So we get into that a little bit. And then the two mowing tips that will instantly change your lawn and make all your neighbors jealous. Two simple tips with mowing your lawn that you're probably not doing that Chris is going to tell you about. So let's get into it. Episode 2, Making of a Lawn Podcast. Hi, I'm Kevin Begley from Star 99.9, and this is Making of a Lawn, presented by Teed and Brown. Here we are, episode 2. It's Kevin Begley. I'm here with Chris Brown again from Teed and Brown. And Chris, I've already got some great feedback on that first episode. People have been telling me that they've been listening, they're enjoying it, they're getting tips for their lawn. It's great.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right, glad to hear it. And yeah. By the way, when you use my full name, you got to make Christopher the first name.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're just talking to me and using my name, you say Chris or Christopher Brown. So
right, yeah.
For obvious reasons, I think.
Right, so for the going forward in these episodes, it's Christopher Brown, not
go,
to be confused
go.
With the singer.
Yes.
So, yeah, one thing I wanted to talk about before we get into my lawn, that you know, because the first treatment did go down, mm-hmm. So before we get into that, a couple weeks ago, I went to Augusta, Georgia.
Ooh.
To go to the Masters for the first
nice.
Time ever. And as a golf nerd fan, I mean, it was unbelievable to take that trip and see that golf course in person.
Mm.
But one thing that I noticed that I couldn't stop thinking about, well, we went to a practice round. So we didn't go to the actual Thursday through Sunday. I went to a Monday. And walking around that course, you know, obviously the golf part was crazy for me as a golf fan. But looking at the grass, it was unreal how immaculate it was. All I could think about was this podcast and you. I was like, he would go crazy here. He'd be looking at every little blade, but just the green, even the spots that weren't the actual course were just, it was green and unbelievable. It looked like carpet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to be, they must have a whole team at that course, right? That every single day is maintaining that.
Oh, that is like the Taj Mahal of the turf grass industry. That is, yeah, it's something else. And actually, we could probably do a whole episode just
right,
on
we
Augusta.
Should, yeah, maybe we'll do that. Yeah, so, it's like a bonus episode.
But they do everything at such a high level down there. When I was in school, several of my classmates actually went down and interned there over the summer. So I got to hear a lot of the stories from those guys.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, they've got a team probably of about 50 crew members working full time, day in, day out, and we're talking long hour days, not just like 40 hours.
Right.
And they've got an elite superintendent and a limitless budget to be able to do it. And bottom line is this, don't hold that up and think this is what my lawn should look like.
Right.
Because it's literally the
course.
Best you could possibly do.
Yeah, yeah.
But let me give you one little tidbit about what they do down there, because Augusta, obviously, it gets pretty hot in the summertime.
Yeah, it's even when we went, it was the early April, and it was like 85 degrees one of the days. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. But what they've done down there is they're growing the greens, creeping bent grass greens. Now, what that means is basically, it's just the name of the grass.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really nice, velvety, smooth grass that gives a really nice roll for the ball.
Right.
You can mow it short. It's good stuff. But it's more of a northern type of grass that we use up here, not necessarily something you use in hotter climates.
Oh, wow.
Okay? If you go down to Florida, those places, most golf courses you play on, the greens are actually Bermuda grass, which can handle the heat.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it's a little bit rougher. It doesn't roll quite as nice, but it can handle the heat.
Yeah.
So what do they do in Georgia? How are they able to keep this alive? Well, a couple of different things. Number one, they shut down the course all summer.
That's one thing I learned when I was down there, we were talking to people and I didn't realize that they did that, but the whole summer shut down,
just to keep the greens alive.
Yeah,
that's basically it. They're there just to maintain and keep these greens alive, and if
so
you had golfers
crazy.
Coming through and playing on them all day, you wouldn't be able to do what you need to do.
Right.
But one of the other things, and this is just crazy, but I love it. They actually have underground air conditioning for the greens.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
To keep it cool? That's neat.
Yep. They have pipes built underneath the greens, and they just blow air out, and the air works its way up through the sand that the greens are growing in.
Yeah.
Which, actually, the greens grow in pure sand, okay? That's a whole nother topic.
Right.
but, yeah, the air works its way up, and if you were to put a thermometer right down on the surface of the green while they have these pumping, you would find that it's probably about 15, maybe even 20 degrees cooler than the air is maybe just 6 or 8 inches above that.
Wow.
And that really does the trick in terms of keeping the greens cool. Obviously, you got to monitor water really carefully.
Yeah.
You got to watch out for all sorts of other problems. But it's an amazing laboratory
for yeah.
what you can do at the very pinnacle of turf grass maintenance. It's
right.
pretty cool, yeah.
And the next time I play like the local public course here, that's all I'm going to think about too. Because I'm like, this looks nothing like Augusta.
You got one quarter of 1% yeah. budget.
And, right, exactly. Yeah, just some kid running around trying to keep the grass somewhat green.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. All right, great. So by the way, our lawn. So I was just telling you this right before we started recording, but my wife and I were in the kitchen and we saw the Teton Brown truck show up outside the window and we got so excited. We were like, there they are. They're here. It was just neat to see the logo pull up and then they got out and they did the first treatment. So and you and I actually took a look at it and it looks like it's going pretty well so far.
Yeah, I'm really happy with it so far. And I think we've gotten a little bit of luck here. We've gotten some nice rains.
April was a lot of rain. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really helped tremendously because we put a lot of seed down in the yard trying to get it to fill in. It was pretty much all dead crabgrass. And that was my biggest concern.
Yeah.
But, okay, we got to get some lawn in here. And there's all sorts of problems with seeding in the spring that we talked about.
Yep.
But we got the seed down and we've gotten some good rain and the weather's warmed up enough. And that's one of the important things to remember is that when you're talking about growing grass seed, it's got to be a combination of warm enough temperatures in the soil
yep.
and plenty of water.
Okay, yeah.
So that's once you have both of those factors in place, the seed grows.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And it's funny that so some of it's out of your control. So like the rain, for example, if we had a dry April, it would have been a lot tougher for this grass to come in. But I guess once you get into the warmer months in the summer, you can control that by doing your own watering. But but yeah, the temperature of the soil, the how much rain you get, how much sun, like a lot of it is sort of out of your hands. So it's interesting when that all comes together and it comes in good.
I think that actually kind of juxtaposes perfectly with the Augusta National that we're talking about here, which
right.
is that those guys have figured out a way to get control over almost every single element that goes into keeping grass in great shape.
That's
and
true.
At that elite level. Whereas we've got control over maybe 10% of things.
Right. So you're right. They've found a way to control everything that we can't control.
Well, if you have limitless money. So.
Right. Yeah. If you have no budget.
You know, I don't think we talked about this. Do you have limitless money? Because we have a lot of money.
I wish. Trust me. I wish. If I had limitless money, it would be a different house, first of all. Different yard. Bigger yard. And I would probably build a golf hole and a green in the backyard, like Augusta.
That's probably a question I should have asked up front, but I got the answer I would have expected anyway. Yeah.
And I'd definitely get those air-conditioned like pipes under my lawn,
oh, yeah,
too.
Yeah, you gotta have those.
All right, so let's go a little bit into the new seed growth rates. So,
yeah.
You know, obviously some seed probably grows quicker than others, probably grows slower. So, what types of seed grow fast, grow slow, if someone's trying to seed their lawn?
Yeah, and there's different types of grass that we're using, and you used a blend of grass seed. There was some perennial ryegrass, some Kentucky bluegrass, some fine fescues. And the reason for that is actually because diseases, insects, all different problems that can happen to a lawn over the course of a season are going to prefer one over the other. So you might get an insect that's going to infest, but it really prefers Kentucky bluegrass, for example.
Oh, that's okay. Interesting. So you put a blend because it sort of like increases your odds of it not all being killed.
Exactly. The diversity is really key.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference.
Huh.
But part of that, too, is these are very different plants. Okay, these are different types of plants that just happen to look very similar when they're in a lawn situation.
Right.
And so they grow differently, and they do grow at different rates. So the first seed, when we were walking around your yard, I was really happy because we saw a lot of seed growth that had already gotten started. But all that is the perennial ryegrass right now, which is the first one to start growing.
Okay.
And they're still in the soil there. A lot of Kentucky bluegrass, a lot of fine fescues that have yet to come up. So your first inclination when you seed with a blend like this is you water, and all of a sudden you start seeing grass coming in, and you're scratching your head going, wow, that looks really thin. It's just not looking as robust as I was hoping for.
Yeah.
And you have to just kind of take a step back and realize, okay, that's only about a third of the grass that we've planted that we're
patience.
Seeing right now.
Yeah.
Hang in there, keep the watering going, and in about a week to 2 weeks after that, you're going to start seeing the other grasses growing.
Now, how many different, so in the blend, how many different types of grass are in there? How many different types of seed?
Well, if you want to look at it at sort of the big macro level, there's three different types. There's the Kentucky bluegrass, perennial rye, and fine fescues that we just talked about. But there's about two different varieties of each of those.
Oh, so it breaks down to...
It breaks down even further, yeah. And if you go into... like the commercially available varieties, you actually find there's hundreds of different varieties of just Kentucky bluegrass.
Oh, wow.
So it really gets into some specific breeding where you get some that are more drought tolerant, some that just have a naturally darker green color, some that are very resistant to certain disease problems.
Right.
And you can really hand select the ones that are going to be best for the environment that you're trying to grow grass in, yeah.
And are those the Kentucky bluegrass, and what was the other one?
There's perennial rye.
Perennial rye. Are those the ones that thrive here in the Northeast the best? Is that why is that the most popular for this area?
Yeah, typically. Those ones do quite well up here, and then there's an area that we refer to as the transition zone. Actually, the whole United States is split up in the turf industry into zones.
Oh, really? Oh, that's
neat.
So
you've got the warm, humid, cool, humid, warm, arid, cool, arid, then there's a transition. And the transition zone, there's grasses like fine turf type tall fescues is what they're called.
Yep.
Very different from fine fescues, but they share that name.
Right.
And then you go further down south into Florida and you have things like zoysia grass, Bermuda grass, St. Augustine grass, totally different ones. But I kind of liken it to if you were to try to take St. Augustine grass from Florida and plant it in a lawn up here, it would be like taking a palm tree from Florida and trying to plant it up here and just see how that works.
Right. It's
just not going to work.
Yeah. Just because the environment and the temperature and the weather and everything.
Exactly. And similarly, if you took some Kentucky bluegrass from here and you planted it in Florida, it might look good through the winter, but then come summer, it's just going to fry.
It's just going to be awful,
And that's one of the things where, you know, Augusta is really pushing that creeping bentgrass to its absolute limit by keeping it in that hot climate. Doing everything they can to keep it alive through the summer. And then during the cooler months, it's just makes for a fantastic putting surface.
Is Bermuda grass the one that's thick? It's almost like it's a really thick blade, right?
Yeah. It's most of the southern type grasses tend to have thicker blades.
It doesn't bend as much as the
If you walk around barefoot on a lawn down in Florida, you might know what I'm talking about. It almost hurts.
It's almost like the fake welcome mats, fake grass welcome mats. It's got that sort of consistency.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're just talking about Bermuda grass. It's a pretty cool situation. There's the University of Phoenix Stadium out there in Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got an indoor stadium, which you have to do, otherwise you will fry 70,000 fans.
Right, it's just too hot.
It's just way too hot. But they wanted to have a natural grass field.
Yeah.
So typically indoor stadiums, you can't grow a natural grass field. It needs natural sunlight.
Yeah.
But what they actually did is built this giant tray that the field grows on.
Oh, I saw that during, I think, the football season. And don't they move it in and out?
Yeah. It's a football field full of Bermuda grass that just sits outside, bakes in the sun, thrives, loves it.
Wow.
They keep it cut. They keep it healthy. And then come game day, I think it's around 7 a.m. or something like that. They turn on the motors and it rolls along the railroad tracks into the stadium.
It's so funny.
And you've got this natural field in the stadium. So it's a really cool setup.
Again, much like Augusta, probably a lot of money behind that.
I'm guessing,
That they can have that whole elaborate scenario. That's cool, though. That's such a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, what about... I was thinking about this, too. So the grass starts coming in, but are there certain diseases, certain lawn diseases that can happen, even if your grass is looking good, and can you prevent them, or like how does that even work?
Yeah, there's a lot of different diseases that lawns can get, and there's a lot of different schools of thought on this. One of the ones you're going to start running into now, which I'll just talk about real quickly, and this is probably the easiest one for an average homeowner to identify properly.
Okay, so if you're listening, your lawn might have this, and you could see it.
Yeah, probably not. It's somewhere in about April, May, you start seeing a lot of it. Actually, up through until about June, and it's called red thread.
Oh.
And the reason why it is easy to identify is because it looks just like the name implies, where you've got these sort of brownish areas of the lawn and you're going, what's going on? And then you get down on your hands and knees and you take a close look and you see all these little red threads all over.
Yeah.
And that's red thread. And those red threads are the fungus that's causing the disease. I should back up just a step and explain that for lawns and for other plants in general, diseases are caused by fungus, whereas, you know, in humans and animals, it's usually bacteria or viruses.
Right.
Okay, so there are bacteria and viruses that can attack lawns, too, but they're remote and it's not something you really worry about. So it's fungus that'll attack plants.
Yeah.
And so, red thread's there. But the key to keep in mind when it comes to disease management, you can spray fungicides that get them under control. And that's typically what you have to do on golf courses or very high level maintenance turf.
Yeah.
But by doing so, you really kind of get yourself into this cycle of dependence.
Right.
And on a home lawn, we really don't recommend that.
Right, because then you're always trying to put it down and kill the fungus and everything.
It becomes, over time, the lawn gets actually more and more dependent upon the fungicides.
Oh, that makes sense.
And I describe it like this. It's very different than this if you want to get scientific about it, but it like, from an outsider looking in, it's almost like an addiction.
Yeah.
Where the lawn just becomes sort of addicted to the fungicides. I think it's the easiest way to think about it, even though scientifically that's not an accurate way of explaining
it. Right, right. But it makes sense when you're thinking about, because just like anything, like the lawn just gets used to it, and it just needs it more and more. So if you try to break that habit, it's just going to be all bad.
Absolutely. And so something like red thread, I always tell people, it's like the common cold.
Yeah.
It's annoying, but it's probably going to grow out. It's probably going to be okay. And we see it a lot in the springtime because it likes the cooler nights and the warmer days. Mm-hmm. And it also likes low nitrogen. And we'll get into nitrogen in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Nitrogen is one of the main components of fertilizer.
Okay.
And what happens is when you get a lot of rain in the spring and the grass is growing really fast, the rain is encouraging the grass to grow fast. It uses up that nitrogen.
Yep.
And the soil gets kind of depleted of it. And then this fungus can really thrive.
Right.
Under those conditions. And so really the way to keep it at bay is just to make sure you've got adequate fertilizer on the lawn.
Oh, okay. And just let it run its course. So much like the cold.
Absolutely.
The cup and cold. Yeah.
Yep. It'll be annoying for a little while and then it'll go away and everything's fine.
Yeah. All right. Perfect. Red thread. Easy to remember too. Because it looks like the red thread and it rhymes. The red thread.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's talk about fertilizer because the next application that happens on my lawn will be the fertilizer phase, right?
Yeah, we actually did do a fertilizer application
on the initial.
With the seed. But I'll kind of explain the difference there.
Yeah.
When you put seed down, you're using fertilizer that has a lot of phosphorus.
Okay,
for whatever reason, phosphorus is the nutrient that seed loves.
Yeah.
It needs that to grow. And so we put down a fertilizer on your lawn that had some phosphorus in it.
Yep.
And that helps the seed to grow, and now your lawn's grown in, it's going to look really good. The next application, now that it's starting to grow in, we want to thicken it up, is going to have more nitrogen in it.
Hmm.
And nitrogen is the one, if you put down a fertilizer that was just pure nitrogen, nothing else, you would see a really strong visual response in the grass. You would see it green up, thicken up, look great, everything's great.
But there's going to be a catch.
Not so much a catch, but over time, the other nutrients that fertilizers have in them will get completely worn out, and then the lawn will start to really show signs of deficiencies of those nutrients.
Okay.
So you can hang in there without them for a little while, but over time, just adding them in with the fertilizer is always a good idea because then you don't run out,
for lack of
a better term. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
So the fertilizers we put down have a blend of, the three main ones are nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium.
Okay.
And they've got them in really good quantities, and there's 1,000 different varieties of nitrogen on lawns and fertilizers.
Yeah. But nitrogen is the key. That seems to be the one thing that really helps it.
That is the one thing. And you see a lot of... less reputable companies out there, and certainly won't name names. Most companies are good. They'll buy decent, reasonably good quality stuff. But they'll buy fertilizer that's really cheap, and it's literally just nitrogen because they know they can put that down. You'll get the visual response.
And you'll see the result.
And you'll think, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
But in reality, they're skimping on the other things that are going to be better for the long run,
So that's good to know. And that's another thing, even for people who are just fertilizing on their own, you go to the store, there's a million different fertilizers.
Mm-hmm.
You see them all stacked up, and it's hard to know which ones to get.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, is there certain things people should look for on the bag? Like, I guess nitrogen, obviously, but is there a certain... certain things to look for when they're buying a fertilizer for their lawn. I guess every lawn's different.
This is actually a really complicated question.
So I figured.
I'm not going to try to answer it in a way that would be really useful in a podcast, and I apologize to all the listeners because I know that would be really helpful. But what you want to look for on the bag is there's going to be three numbers on the bag.
Yeah.
And those are that's the grade of the fertilizer. And
it'll
be like, 10, 5, 15 or 5, 3, 12, something along those lines.
Yep.
The first number is nitrogen, the second number is phosphorus, and the third number is potassium.
Oh.
Okay, so it tells you those are the three, and it gives it to you in the percentage by weight of the bag that is those three nutrients.
Okay.
So if you see something that's 20, 5, 10, that means it's 20% by weight nitrogen, 5% by weight phosphorus, and 10% by weight potassium.
Okay.
So if you see something, if you're trying to thicken up your lawn and make it look green because it's kind of weak and it needs something, needs that nice little kick to get it going, and you see a fertilizer and it's 0, 10, 3, it's not going to work because the 0 means there's no nitrogen in it.
Right. So the nitrogen is what you really need.
Right. And it's that first number that's really going to green it up.
Okay.
If you're looking to grow seed, that middle number is the one you want higher.
Okay.
Because that's the phosphorus, and that's going to help you grow seed. And usually those will be marked as starter fertilizer, which kind of makes sense.
Right, right.
You're starting it. The final one, the potassium, it's another, it doesn't have a specific role in terms of, oh, this is great for seed growth, or this is great. It's just a nutrient that the grass needs a good amount of, and adding it with any fertilizer application over time will just kind of help to make sure that the supply of potassium in the soil is plentiful whenever the grass needs it. Yeah.
Well, that totally makes sense. I mean, you look for those three numbers, and if you're, whether you're trying to get your grass, your seed, or just over time, that, I mean, that is definitely helpful, I think, for a lot of people.
Good. I'm glad you know that. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so we've talked about a lot with Mylon so far. The one big question I wanted to bring up in this episode is the mowing.
Yep.
This is a huge thing. So, you know, last year I was mowing my lawn. The first question is, does it matter if you bag it or just mulch it or just let it go? Is there one that's better than the other?
Yeah, I always recommend mulching it, leaving the clippings on the lawn, with one exception. If the grass has grown so much that you're leaving piles and clumps, then you want to get those off.
Yeah. So just rake them off, maybe?
Rake them off, blow them off. Yep. If they're small enough piles and you can just take a rake and kind of knock them around and break them up, that's fine.
Yep.
You just don't want those piles sitting on top of the grass, because then it will smother the underlying
grass.
And
it's dead grass, because then it turns brown because it's just cut dead grass, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But by returning those to the lawn, it actually just returns nutrients. Those are just the grass blades are mostly water anyway by weight.
Right.
But there's some nutrients in there, and you might as well return them back to the property. Collecting them, I've never really understood. I guess people just don't want to walk around and get some grass clippings on their shoes.
Right.
But
so I prefer the mulching way, for the record, because it just makes it a lot easier.
And absolutely.
You know, trying to bag all the clippings and get rid of them, and the town has law, like, it's just too much. So that's good to know that mulching actually helps the lawn. It actually helps the grass.
Yeah, it does. And there's a lot of research to show that lawns are healthier when you mulch it and put the clippings back in there.
Nice.
But when it comes to mowing, let me give you a couple of key points that you can focus in on. Number one, it's called the one-third rule.
Oh, okay.
And it's a pretty simple one, and it's something that's really hard, and I'm guilty of breaking it myself many times. It's very hard to keep up with, especially when the grass is growing fast, but that is, don't ever cut more than one-third of the length of the grass blade at any time.
Okay.
And so if the grass is growing really fast, you want to mow it more often, because otherwise, you know, if you're mowing it at 3 inches and it's grown out to 6 inches, and you're cutting it in half, you're cutting a little too much, and you're going to stress it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so what you want to do is, if you want to mow it at 3 inches, once it gets to 4.5 inches, one-third of that would be 1.5 inches, bring it down to 3.
Right.
There you go. That's when you want to cut it at 4.5 inches.
So you don't want to just let it grow super, super long and then be like, all right, I'll just cut it now.
Nope.
Like when it looks bad.
Completely stresses out the grass.
Yeah.
And it's not good. So sometimes in the spring, you may have to cut it more than once a week if you really want to be good about this rule.
Yeah.
Now, I'll be honest. I'm full disclosure mode. I've broken this rule many times myself.
I was going to say, you're probably the hardest on your own lawn. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, just I do my own place. I don't, you know, I have my guys fertilize it, but I mow my own lawn.
Yeah.
And I just don't have time during the week a lot of times.
Right.
It grows a little too fast, and I get there on the weekend. It's okay. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
But just, you want to minimize the number of times you do that. The next rule is, keep those mower blades sharp. If you haven't done it, a lot of people don't get their blades sharpened.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever,
Yeah, so reach out to a local hardware store or something like that and ask them if they'll do blade sharpening for you, or if they can replace the blade on the mower.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you don't think about, but think about this. If you were getting surgery and the surgeon was coming in and he just had a dull butter knife in his hand.
Yeah, you'd be like, no thanks.
Yeah, exactly. It's not good for you. It's, you know, hacking away. Yeah,
that's a good way to think about it.
And it is the same kind of thing. If you think about what happens when a really dull blade hits a grass blade, it grabs it, it pulls, it rips, it tears.
Yeah.
It doesn't slice it nice and clean. It causes a lot of stress that will, you know, cause the quality of the grass to really go down.
It reminds me of shaving. Like if you have one of those disposable razors and you let it go too long, it starts to pull at the at the hairs. It's the same idea.
It's exactly the same idea, yeah.
And the other thing, so my mower has the, you know how you can like adjust the wheels, like the height of the mower. So I guess that comes into play when you're trying to do the one-third rule, right?
It does very much. That's a great point, too. If you have let it go too long, one of the first things you can do is raise the height as high as you can.
So put it to the highest,
Put it way up to the highest, mow it down, then maybe just give it 2-3 days, and then knock the mower down a little bit. and then do it again.
But if you're staying on top of it and you're being good about it, you probably want it like in the middle to low, right?
Well, you want it so that the grass is about 3 inches. That's my rule. Three and a half inches.
The blades.
Yeah, the blades of the grass.
Okay.
And a lot of people like to mow it shorter because they want it to look like that Augusta fairway, right?
I know, that's going to be me shooting for that Augusta grass.
But what you want to keep in mind with that is that the roots in the soil will mirror the length of the blades on top.
Okay.
So if you let the grass grow a little bit longer on the surface, then the roots will grow a little bit deeper.
Okay.
And then the grass survives much better because it's got access to water that's further down below.
Yeah, that makes
nutrients,
sense.
Things like that. When you're cutting it real short, those roots tighten right up and you end up really stressing out the grass.
Yeah.
So definitely not a good idea, especially in the summer when we get into the hotter months.
Right, right.
Let it grow out three and a half inches is makes all the difference in the world, yeah.
Okay, perfect. And it's okay for me to start mowing now that we're getting into May, even with that first application down?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Get, once the grass is ready to be mowed, once it's long enough, get that mower
start
out.
Mowing. Yep, all right, yep. Yep, tis the season.
It is.
It's mowing season. All right, awesome. So we covered a lot in this episode. So, so the next application will be happening on my lawn coming up soon, I think.
Yeah, I think in the next week to 2 weeks, we're going to come back out. And what we're going to do now is we're going to give it a shot of fertilizer to try to fill in the grass. It's very young right now, but we're going to try to give it that extra boost of nutrients so it thickens up really nice and starts to kind of take over and give you that sod-like lawn look, which is going to be fantastic. I'm really excited about that.
Nice. Me too.
And then, you know, any kind of stray weeds and dandelions and things like that, we're going to go hit them for you.
Right.
I should stress, you know, I don't want to seem like I'm neurotic about weeds. Some people are. They don't want to see anything other than grass in the lawn.
Right.
But the definition of a weed is really a plant that you don't like.
Okay? Yeah, I remember.
It's a plant
out
of place.
It makes sense because it's not like they're absolutely bad. It's just you don't want it in that place.
Right, exactly. And so if you put grass in a flower bed, it's a weed. It's
a weed. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So if you got some dandelions in the lawn or clover or things like that and you don't mind them and the overall property is healthy and green and looks good, it's fine. They're not going to cause any harm, any problems. Now, if you're using the yard as a place for kids to play soccer and run around, it's not going to give them as much cushion or as good of a playing surface.
Yeah.
So there's some issues you can think about along those lines. But if it's just about aesthetics and you don't mind those being in your lawn, no problem.
It's fine.
Enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, life's too short.
Yeah. All right, great. Well, Christopher Brown from Dean Brown.
Thank you.
This was great. Well, the next episode will be up in a few weeks. And remember, if you haven't subscribed yet, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, Spotify. You can listen there, too, if that's what you use. Star999.com. You can listen right on our website. And I'll be posting on social media the progress throughout the spring and the summer, getting ready for that big July barbecue.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And I got to start my mowing. That's something I need to do.
Yep.
All right, great. Thanks, Christopher.
You got it. Thank you.
Thanks.